everybody. This is Jamie Little with NASCAR and Fox, and you're on the road with Dane on WGN.
720 WGN on the road with Dane, live here in the Allstate Showcase Studio on Michigan Avenue, and on the line with us, honored to have veteran motorsports reporter, but also has covered winter and summer X Games, paintball championships, supercross, as well as being one of the leading voices for legendary races like the Indianapolis 500 and Daytona 500, and of course, part of the great team over there at Fox covering NASCAR Monster Energy Cup, one and only Jamie Little. Welcome to WGN.
Thanks for having me. It's been a while.
So, okay, Winter X Gaming, you look at this. Okay, you went to college in San Diego, lived for a long time in Las Vegas. You know, San Diego's got some of the best weather, historically awesome weather. I mean, it's some of the best weather in the world. And then Vegas is, you know, got great weather, not cold weather. You threw it all away to enjoy what has been a white Christmas, so we did get that. But now you're experiencing, you know, an Arctic polar blast this weekend. So how's it going?
Oh, my gosh. Yes, packed up the family, and we moved east. We're living in Indianapolis, just outside Indianapolis now. And, yes, what a change of pace for us. We moved here just in time for the temperatures to dip and had our first big snowstorm. So, like you said, we had a white Christmas. And as I sit here talking to you, I'm watching it start to snow now. So it's totally different, but it is so exciting, and it's just amazing to watch, you know, this kind of weather and the snow through a child's eyes.
It is. And are the children impervious to cold? You know, our kids kind of don't seem to notice it. They run out without, you know, having socks on sometimes with just a sweatshirt and no jacket or any kind of things. But maybe, like, were you, when you first got there at first, maybe on, you know, Christmas, it looked nice, it was great, and then maybe you're looking at yourself, other people in the room, and saying, what have we done?
You're right. Honestly, I haven't hit that point yet, but looking at the forecast, the high is going to be -1 on Monday.
No.
And, you know, I was born in South Lake Tahoe, California, so I grew up with snow and with cold, but it just doesn't get that cold there. So this is going to be something totally different and unique for me. But going back to the kids, like you said, yes, yesterday my 14-month-old daughter decided to open up the sliding glass door and just walk out in the snow barefoot without a jacket, and it didn't even bother her. And my son does the same thing. He runs out, leaves the door open, because that's what we did in Las Vegas. And he starts just throwing snowballs and eating it and, you know, without a care in the world.
Well, it's going to be great. When you think about this, and covering sports and motorsports specifically and some of those top events for so many years, to be there right in the heart of it. I mean, when it comes to, we've got Daytona, and it certainly is as well. But when it comes to racing, that I don't think there's any community city that's more identified specifically with motorsports than Indianapolis. And so has that been something that you've been thinking about? Certainly for the career, a lot of stuff is happening there. But was it kind of good to get right in the middle of all of it?
Definitely. You know, we have more friends here in Indianapolis than we did in Las Vegas, and that's just because it's a racing community. I covered 11 Indy 500s, so that means I spent 2 to 3 weeks here in the month of May. So I met a lot of people, have some great relationships here. And then my husband actually grew up in Zionsville, just outside of Indianapolis. He grew up working on an IndyCar team. His brother still works for an IndyCar team. His dad works for an IndyCar team, and they all live here. So we're definitely immersed in the racing world here, but it is one of the best racetracks in the world, and I think the best race in the world. So it's pretty neat that we live here. And during the month of May now, even though I'm not covering any of it, sad to say, I'll still get to go out to the track and watch practice, watch qualifying before I go down to Charlotte to cover the 600.
You know, it is one of those rare events, Indianapolis 500, that brings people in regardless of whether they're even huge motorsports fans, like the Kentucky Derby. It's one of those iconic events that's a bucket list for so many people. Well, I think more people than ever before are going to have the Daytona 500, the start of the season for Monster Energy Cup, the start of the season broadcasting for Fox on their calendars as well this year, because, you know, I got to tell you, with the changing in just the way that they did it with the point system and the stage racing and all those kind of things, I don't know if they could have planned for it, but it turned out to be, at least in recent memory for me, and maybe I was a little more invested than some, but we got a lot of feedback from listeners, one of the most exciting seasons, the way that it ended, the way that it all kind of planned out. You can't always know how things are going to go, but what an exciting finish to the season. And I think, I mean, there has never been more anticipation for a Daytona 500 than maybe for 2018.
Yeah, and I think you're exactly right, and that's for many reasons. And I love the changes that NASCAR has implemented over the last year. I just want to leave it alone now for a little bit and see where it goes, because I, you know, this playoff format has been great since the beginning, but with the tweaks now, the elimination, I mean, these guys are racing and driving for everything, but the stage racing makes every race that much more important throughout the year, and we really saw that. Guys pushing the limits, going for broke, things that maybe they wouldn't do before because they knew that they were in contention for those extra bonus points that get to go to the off season with them, or the playoff season. So I think that, yes, the racing was better this year. We saw a bunch of new faces, younger faces, rise to the occasion, end up in the playoffs. We also saw them in victory lane, drivers getting their first wins. And, you know, Daytona this year is going to look different. We're not going to have Dale Earnhardt Jr. in the field. We're going to see Danica Patrick for her final NASCAR race. And I just mentioned those younger drivers. It is wide open. I could not tell you one driver that I would say this is going to be the favorite to win the Daytona 500. We have so many talented drivers, and now they're in great seats, including at Hendrick Motorsports. You have Alex Bowman taking over the 88 for Dale Jr. That's a big question mark. He's going to be great. Dale Jr. is going to be on the headset with him the whole month, talking him through it and coaching him, of course. And then we have William Byron that's going to take over the 24 car, the iconic 24. So that kid is so talented, and there's just so much anticipation, like you said, for Daytona.
It is. It's going to be really great because the new format, what it does, and you hit on it, Jamie, too, is it kind of gives the opportunity for some of these younger drivers to shine. You know, it has that format where there can be little victories, and there's a lot more to think about, certainly for the teams, and a lot more to watch and anticipate for the fans as well. But here's the other part, too, and we talked to a number of drivers early on in the season. They weren't necessarily skeptical about it, but it was new, different, something to adapt to, weren't sure how it was going to turn out. But at the end, I think everybody, including the drivers and the teams, they saw that drivers who had performed all year and some of the best, you know, historically that are performing in the sport right now ended up in that, you know, final moment for that chance to win the championship. So it worked out. You know, the best drivers raced well. Sometimes when you change the format, you never know what's going to happen. Something goofy could come up and you say, this isn't working. This isn't what should be happening. But it came out perfectly. I think that everybody agreed that exciting at the end with some of those really iconic drivers challenging for it. And you mentioned, too, those opportunities for those young stars to shine.
Yeah, and I think at the end, too, and you could say it across all three NASCAR series, trucks, Xfinity, and the Monster Energy Cup, the best car and the best truck won the championship. Martin Truex Jr. was hands down the best car all year long. So I think that a lot of people, even if they're disappointed that their driver didn't win the championship, they're happy to see Martin Truex Jr. because he was the best car and because of the story behind him. He's such a humble guy. He's a first-time champion. He's definitely had his ups and downs that we've all documented throughout the years with his longtime girlfriend, Sherry, battling cancer now for the second time. To see the joy on both of their faces and live through that in Champions Week, I think a lot of people are just really excited about that storyline that panned out, and they can't wait to see what happens with that Furniture Row team based in Denver,
yep.
Nonetheless. They're definitely an underdog team, and here they are, the favorite going into the Daytona 500.
Oh, it was a Hollywood script. You couldn't have written it anybody. But you mentioned this, too, and this is one of the things I think people are going to watch. You look at those iconic cars taking over for Dale Jr. in the 88, the 24. You look at the 43 over at Richard Petty Motorsports with Bubba Wallace in there, and then you've got Danica Patrick. And I wanted to get your thoughts. It kind of uniquely positioned with a perspective, having covered so many of the Indianapolis 500. And then, of course, you know, in NASCAR and covering Danica, you know, in the Cup Series, because it isn't as though there are a lot of people kind of stepping up. And she made her mark in both of those sports and I think competed at a very high level in the IndyCar thing, competed at a very, very high level. Is there anybody out there that, you know, with your hand on the pulse of so much of it, that can kind of, you know, step up, you know, on, you know, for women in racing and kind of, I mean, those are big shoes to fill, but do you see anything on the horizon?
You know, there's quite a few women that come across our path that we see, we meet at events and whatnot, and there are some talented women and girls coming up. The problem is just getting that opportunity. You know, Bobby Rahal years and years ago took a chance with Danica. Here's this young girl, she's fast, she's definitely proven in go-karts and the Formula Series that she did in Europe, but he took a chance and said, I'm going to put this girl in my Indy car. No other owner has done that, in my eyes, has given a car that good to a woman to see what she can do. And if he hadn't have done that, there wouldn't be a Danica Patrick as we know her today. Now, I don't see another owner taking that chance or a sponsor to step up with that kind of money to say, let's put this girl in the car. These owners, these corporations, they want to see these guys in there or girls who are proven, who've already won getting to this point. So right now, I don't see another woman coming into this level. There's definitely Haley Deegan, Brian Deegan, legendary X Games athlete. He's an off-road truck racer now, an off-road truck champion. She's looking to be super fast. She could be the real deal. She's part of the NASCAR Next program. Natalie Decker's another one. I know she's good friends with Danica and Danica's family. But do we know which one really has it? No, and we won't know that until we really see them in four wheels and, you know, like the ARCA series or the NASCAR K&N series. But I think that we need that. I think there's a legion of fans out there that are looking to follow a woman like Danica, especially the young girls. They really look to, you know, see what Danica's doing on Sunday during the race, because her dad and her mom have their favorite drivers, but she wants to know about the girl driver. I think it's really important for us to have that. It's one of the only sports where a woman can compete on level ground with a man. Okay. And, you know, the next best thing that we have this year, it's not next best, but it's a great story and something that a lot of people will follow. You mentioned him, Bubba Wallace.
Yes.
It's great for the sport. Oh. He's talented. We saw what he did this year filling in for Eric Almirola, and I can't wait to see what he can do this year.
Oh, it's going to be great. I mean, I am so excited. I know so many fans are so excited too, because it's great for him to have those opportunities, but also to have that opportunity in just, you know, one of the most iconic cars in all of racing, you know, with that number, with that team, to get out there. You know, he's going to have the best opportunity. He's going to make the most of it, because if you know him, as I'm sure you do, over the last couple of years, we've got a chance to know him through some of the stuff he's done with Nickelodeon. He's just a really quality human being, just a great, very talented driver, but also a guy who is so devoted and dedicated to what he's doing and just excited for the opportunities and that potential success. It's going to be a great story.
Yes, and he has a great personality, too. Off the track, he is a character. If you follow him on Twitter or Instagram, he's hilarious. So I love him. I love the fact that they picked him up. Richard Petty is giving him an opportunity. I think they did it without even knowing for sure that they had sponsorship, which is great. So that's definitely going to be a great story to follow. We need more diversity for sure in racing and in all aspects in American racing.
As some of these drivers kind of leave the track, or at least their presence on the track, they're going to still be a part of the scenario and get in on the broadcasting side and share some of that stuff as well. So Danica, you know, we'll have her insights in there. I think that'll be a really interesting and fresh perspective to share some of those things in the, you know, however they work her in, or you guys work her in, or however she gets involved in whatever capacity to comment on the sport. I think that'll be interesting. Racing, though, this is a very young person. Even though she's retiring from the world of racing, it doesn't define her. She's out there. She's got a new book on. I know we'll talk with her next week about that on the exercise side.
Yeah, she has a lot going on. I think that girl's going to be busier now out of the race car than she was behind the wheel. But she's so talented, and she has so many things going on. She's interested in dynamic in so many more ways than just being an awesome race car driver and just a great advocate for women. I don't think that she's going to get into broadcasting, but if she'll come in the booth with us, it's great. I talked to her this week, and hopefully we'll get some exclusive coverage on Fox of her final Indy 500. We definitely need to work on that, but she's excited about the opportunity, and what an iconic race, what a perfect race for her to close the door on that chapter of racing.
Yeah, racing doesn't necessarily define her. There's so many things out there, and just even though, you know, and let the listeners know, we're talking with Jamie Little, one of the top voices for Fox and the Monster Energy Cup for a NASCAR, but even racing doesn't necessarily define you. You have a lot of different things and ways that you're in the community and helping out. One of the things near and dear to us, and we support a lot of different charities related to animals, and you have a lot of that as well, kind of building that into what you do. And it's great to see, you know, using that platform, you know, you've got an audience, you've got people that listen to what you say, and kind of, you know, helping some cause and affecting some change.
Yeah, I am definitely a big advocate for animals. And in Las Vegas, we had one of the largest shelters in the country. It's called the Animal Foundation. And I mean, at any given time, there are hundreds of animals. So I would love to go in there, and I donated my time and just walked the dogs and decided I wanted to do something bigger. So I created a calendar and reached out, went for it, and asked all the celebrities that I come up with who lived in Las Vegas, like Carrot Top and Wayne Newton, and they all happily agreed to pose with dogs straight out of the shelter. And I loved that. So I look to do that more here in Indianapolis. I'm just looking to find the right opportunity to align myself with, because I definitely jump all in to help the animals and to help children, of course.
Yep. And keep making a brighter 2018 for a lot of people, certainly race fans who get to enjoy what it is you do. Animals out there, and sure the Indianapolis community is going to get a little bit of that as well. Denny Hartwick, if you'll remember him from your Supercross
days, yes,
is a friend over there, communications guy at Chicagoland. He said to say hello and talked about what a, you know, how great you've done with every opportunity, and how excited he is to see what's going on for 2018 with you as well.
Oh, Denny Hartwig and I go way back. I think we started in Supercross about the same time back in 2000. So that was where I started my career. I'm so happy to see Denny there and in the NASCAR world, and he's doing a great job. I know it gets tiring being on the road for so many years, but tell Denny I said hi, and I'm getting ready. Actually, we're gearing up for Supercross. First round of Supercross kicks off in Anaheim next weekend, so I will be there, and I'll be hosting. So I'm excited about that. It's always nice to have a gig like that during your off season. Make sure you still have it, you know?
Yeah, yes, right. Oh, and it's nonstop excitement as well. So before we let you go, people want to know social media, how can they keep up with Jamie Little, see you and all the different things that you're doing across the sports broadcasting landscape?
Yes, I prefer Twitter. That's kind of my world. I share a little insight into what I'm up to, and definitely talk racing a lot. So you can follow me at Jamie Little TV on Twitter, and that connects to Facebook too. But I don't do Facebook. That's just too much social media for me. I stick to the short words and quick synopsis of the storylines, and so Twitter's perfect for that.
Well, happy New Year, Jamie. Thanks for everything that you do for the sport, and obviously jumping on the radio with us today here at WGN.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, and happy New Year.